further ado, let's get started.
Welcome to the Love Life Legacy Podcast. Love Life Legacy Podcast. Love Life Legacy Podcast. It's a podcast. It's a podcast. Welcome to the Love Life Legacy Podcast. Love Life Legacy Podcast. Love Life Legacy Podcast. It's a podcast. It's a podcast. Hey!
We desire to share our love, life, and legacy with the hopes that it inspires, compels, and challenges others. We're all about growth and leveling up, and that is what we aim to do. Now, something that we would like everyone to understand is that this podcast is based on our opinions, framed from our life's experiences and perspectives. This is not to say that we are right and you're wrong. This is merely to challenge and elevate our lives, your life, and the conversations that surround the topics we speak on. Welcome to the Love Life Legacy Podcast.
Boom, 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 boom.
We don't give Mr. enough credit.
No, he, man, matter of fact, he said that he had a plan for us to like spruce that up. Cause I told him, I said, I wanted to lay some bars down, man. I gotta get some bars off, man. It's the Love Life Legacy Podcast. You go on to other shows, but you don't think fast. We gonna make your relationship last. What? Forget everything in the past. But welcome to the Love Life Legacy Podcast. We are your wonderful and magnificent host, the lovely, vivacious, wonderful, beautiful, intelligent, sexy.
Ooh.
Eva Singleton, let's give it up for her.
Yay! Thank you. I'm so humbled to be here today. We have to give it up for the handsome, amazing. Oh, you got your drops.
I do. I have my drops.
The handsome, amazing provider, awesome father. You are also intelligent. Speaks to my sapiosexual nature. The Jonathan Singleton.
Yeah, let's give applause to both of them.
Yeah.
Amazing, amazing, amazing. It is so great to be on again with you guys.
It is.
We have another, hopefully, very tantalizing conversation for you.
Tantalizing.
You like how I'm on today?
Yeah,
you like that, huh?
Yeah.
Got up this morning. We worked out. I still got to go back and finish mine, but for the most part, you know, we worked out and I'm feeling good. I feel like my pump is still there. I'm feeling like nice and right. And you know what I mean? You know, and I want to give a shout out and a kudos. I'm going to turn us down a little bit because I didn't like how loud those drops were a little bit long before.
Okay.
But I'm going to give you a shout out.
Me?
We are celebrating 31 days of consistency of you walking and exercising.
Today is 32.
The day is 32. So yeah. I know that, you know, a lot of people will, you know, create New Year's resolutions. But yours wasn't even a resolution. It was a mindset.
What?
You know what I mean? A lifestyle change. Man, I wish I had my organ.
I thought about asking you to pull up the organs, too.
Oh, I can now. Don't get me started.
Nah, it's okay.
Yeah, but I appreciate your effort and your consistency, and especially with, you know, you sitting down for work a lot.
Yeah.
You have to be able to move, so health is wealth, and I'm proud of you, honey.
Thank you, honey.
You are very welcome.
What do I get?
I'll give it to you on air right now.
No, I don't want it on air.
Why not?
Because I want an actual gift.
But I'll give it to you right now.
No, I want the mini stepper.
The mini stepper? See what I can do. I might make that happen for you.
Okay.
You know what I mean? But we're going to
do. And give me the one on air.
And I can give you the one on air? Okay, good. Yeah, that's what you know how you had coming to you. Great conversation we have coming to you guys.
I got two things.
Oh,
so
it
is February, so of course it's Black History Month.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's February 1st. You know, we have a leap year going on this year, 29 days.
Yes.
But also February is Teen Dating Violence Awareness Month.
Okay.
And I thought that was pretty interesting because, you know, teen dating violence is a thing.
Wow.
Sadly, it is.
I'm not educated on this, so I have no idea what you're talking about, but put me on.
Well, there's a few episodes of Dr. Phil that I have seen, and I think I could be mixing it up, but I know I saw an episode or two on Dr. Phil, and I want to say I saw one on the Steve Wilkos show as well. But you have teens that are, you know, in relationships, and they're literally, you know, dealing with abuse from their partner. And I mean, you guys are, you know, 18 and younger. You know, and experiencing that type of behavior. And then with the whole dating thing, or, you know, young females, it could be males too, but on these shows, I only saw highlighted females, of course, like forced into, you know, sexual relationships early, and, you know, abusive boyfriend and stuff like that. And it's, you know, it's just something, you know, when you're trying to find yourself. And, you know, I remember being 12 and 13, being insecure and thought nobody would want me. You know, imagine if I had a lower self-esteem, you know, I would settle for just having a boyfriend. Oh, he loves me, or that type of thing. But those mindsets really can start early on, you know. And so Teen Dating Violence Awareness Month is a thing. And, you know, so I can only imagine why they made it February. You know, even our 8-year-old has a Valentine, you know. Right. So it's like, you know, just making sure that we are modeling healthy relationships, because, you know, I'm pretty sure, statistically speaking, you know, that they have gotten accustomed to those behaviors because of something in their past.
Right.
You know. Either right. wanting to feel accepted, wanting to feel love, or abuse could have been normal for them, you know? So it's just right. a sad reality. So, yeah. So the February, of course, we're celebrating Black History all month long.
Facts.
But also Teen Dating Violence Awareness Month.
Wow. Well, thank you for bringing that awareness to my attention, because I had no idea. We have to, number one, make sure that we're modeling what healthy relationships look like, because our kids, they watch. Mm-hmm. And how you said, maybe it could be just how they are used to seeing love represented in their life, that they may have become normalized to it, and that falls back on us.
But, and also, people are preyed upon, P-R-E-Y, okay. You know, preyed upon. You know, I remember, and I'm just making a correlation here. So I remember watching something with you about this sex offender guy, mm-hmm. and he was like, he was asking the interview, how did he pick the children? Mm-hmm. And he said, if they have a father in present, he's not gonna mess with that.
This.
He had certain criteria that he looks at so that he can target the right children to try to get away as long as possible. Mm-hmm. You know, I can kind of see that, even though young men or women that are violent in relationships, I'm pretty sure they have a criteria, whether they realize it or not.
Yeah.
You know, because if you have a strong mom or dad, you ain't coming in that person's house. They're gonna call it out when they see it in you. So, you know, so maybe it's because those broken family dynamics leave room open for people to prey upon you because they see your situation. You know what I'm saying? So I think it's more strategic than people actually realize when it comes to engaging your relationships.
That literally bleeds back into our last conversation.
Yeah.
And I don't want to rehash it all the way, because I know we have to get to the topic, but, you know, really just having strong foundations, foundational principles,
yep.
so that you are armed with what you need to protect your family the way that they need to be protected.
Yeah.
You know, and without them, you just kind of leave your kids out there to just fend for themselves. You know, it's like,
yeah, you don't realize.
Dang.
So our daughter,
that's crazy.
One of our daughters, I ain't gonna say her name, even though it might slip out.
I got a beep. I'll censor it out.
She was like, we are neighborhood famous, right? because when we be on TikTok and things like that, a lot of her friends, you know, or people that she runs into at school would, you know, see us and relate it to her or whatever. Yeah. And then she's like, one of her schoolmates saw us in our local neighborhood store, and she was like, you know, just, they noticed us was her parents or whatever.
Yeah.
So yesterday or day before yesterday, she told me my Hoppin' John. What'd she say? My Hoppin' John didn't work this year.
Was it right?
Yeah, my Hoppin' John, because, you know, in Black communities, we eat traditional dishes at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, the first.
Supposed to bring prosperity. And one thing she was hoping for was a relationship. But I think because of the people that she's around, they know how you feel about certain things. Mm-hmm. That the gentleman that saw us in the store didn't want to approach you.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because yeah, it's yeah, like, yeah, you know, yeah. that's Ava Daddy.
That's Ava Daddy. You know? And then on top of that, he was like, bro, big. And then she did her eyes like this.
You know? And, like, and to like to just think. You know, we laugh about it, but think about in the context of teen violence, your strong presence,
yes.
you know, protects yes. her in a way from people that know that they can't run up all kind of ways.
Yes.
When it comes to, like, relationships and things like that.
Don't because play with mine.
They see our content. They may not say anything. They know what we about. And
how we have, like I said, armed and guarded ourselves with certain values and principles. Our kids display that. And she displays
it. Yes, she does.
So not only are you not going to play with her because of us, you also ain't going to play with her because of her.
Because of her, like she said.
You know, you just can't, you can't play with me all kind of ways. Yes. And that's not ego. That is values.
Right.
And standards and integrity and character and morality, which are all encompassed in our family values. Because, like, people can see that. So to your point, when the guy who was a sex offender said, I can pick up on certain things.
Yeah, he reads them.
People can read that.
Yeah, they're intuitive.
So you thinking that you just living life and ain't nobody being able to read your energy or mm-hmm. being able to read your disposition or your aura, you are fooling yourself. And if you are not intentional with making sure that you're protecting yourself with the intangible things that are inward mm-hmm. more than you are with the outward, because that's what you, people usually lead with the outward stuff, you're setting yourself up to become, and I hope not for anybody, a victim of someone else seeing an opportunity to take advantage of you.
Yeah.
Be careful.
Be very careful.
Please be very careful, man.
Yeah.
But... to the conversation
at hand. To the conversation at hand.
Bah, 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 bah.
So we're talking about the infamous show that Jonathan. We watch it really to critique it and just to collect our own data about the show. But
analytics only.
Yes,
bro.
But Marriage at First Sight. So Marriage at First Sight, I believe, aired in 2014 for the first time. Mm-hmm. And I'll give a rundown of the show before I start getting into some numbers.
So you have these three professionals mm-hmm. who are
Dr. Pepper.
Dr. Pepper.
Pastor Calvin.
Oh, no, give me a call.
Oh, sorry.
Dr. Pepper is the sociologist. Go ahead.
Pastor Calvin
is the therapist counselor, and you have the other lady.
The new lady.
Yeah,
I don't remember.
She's a sex therapist, yeah, also a counselor or whatever. And you have these professionals who pick people who sign up for the show and match people based on their interests, their likes, their do's and don'ts of relationships. I can't remember the word that I'm looking for. Anyways, they match people up. And based on the matches, they marry these folks literally at
first sight.
The premise of the show makes for great content. Like, you get to see these people's first reaction from seeing one another. And it carries on to them moving into each other. No, they have to say their vows, say their I do's, how awkward that looks. And it goes to them having to literally live with each other.
Well, they go on vacation.
Well, they go on a honeymoon and they get to kind of see the raw side because they're in a room. But then they got to come home and they actually have to live yeah. with each other and meet each other's families and do life with each other. After meeting each other at first sight.
Yeah.
And... again, the premise of the show makes a great content because you really see these people and their raw reactions. Some people are distraught. Some people are happy. Some people are anxious. Other people are just, they're disgusted.
Yes.
Like, oh my God, I can't believe they picked her. Oh my God, I can't believe they picked him. Like, it makes a great content.
So they do a quick run through of forming, storming, norming, and training.
Look at you. There you go.
Y'all got to tap into episode 65, I think, to get that one. Yeah. But yeah, when it comes to like team and relationship development,
and I like to watch because we understand what we are trying to do with Love Life Legacy Enterprises. It's not just a podcast; we are a relationship coaching service and marital service. Mm-hmm. So it's like we're trying to
officiant
service, mm-hmm. and we're trying to make sure that we take in as much analytics as we possibly can to make our business as efficient and realistic as possible. And watching these people that have the budget to create a show like this and how destructive it really is for people, I don't find that being a viable approach to relationship. Nobody should get married that quickly. I don't care if you're meeting each other in the real world. You meeting somebody, falling in, not even saying, not even falling in love with the person, but then you guys make one of the most greatest commitments ever created and are being held to the responsibility and standard of what that commitment represents to a stranger is nuts to me. It's insane.
I think they try to.
It's arranged marriage.
Yeah, I think.
I get it.
But the arranged marriage people have a certain mindset.
Not only do they have a mindset, there is a structure to arranged marriage. So arranged marriages in certain cultures, the parents pick the two kids that they feel like will match up. Mm-hmm. But the families come together.
Yeah, that's true.
The families meet. The families break bread. The families talk. The families commune. There's a process of time that goes into that before the marriage happens.
Yes.
It ain't I'm meeting you at the altar.
Yeah.
And then we say our I do's. And now you're a wife and I'm a husband. Now we got to start acting like it. And right. We know nothing about one another.
Absolutely.
And that it's not an idealistic approach to marriage. At all. And that's why we see the success rate so low on the show.
It's 11 out of 64 as of August 23 Jesus. Of couples. So they have a 17% success rate.
Jesus Christ.
So, and that is coming from Collider.com. So yeah. So 11 out of 64.
How would,
17%.
How would, okay. You are a project manager.
I am.
And you base, you know, your thing, your teaching based on studies and data and analytics,
mm-hmm.
that percentage.
It's not as cut and dry.
Okay, it's not as, okay.
No, because if I'm doing a real project,
go there.
I would have to think about the sponsor or the customer would have to say what the success criteria would be. And that's a nuance, right? So if for...
Oh, we know what the success criteria for them is.
If the success criteria, I'm talking about as if this was a real project. If the success criteria is that only one couple remain married out of 100, then they would deem themselves as successful.
Can I add something?
Mm-hmm.
I have heard Pastor Calvin specifically say
uh-huh.
That our intention is to create marriages that last. So he didn't say as long as one couple comes through.
I know. I'm just saying the nuances of how some people can justify even low numbers as success.
Okay,
right?
But as the outside looking in.
But as the outside looking in, I would not think that this is a successful show.
No.
And not because of the numbers alone, but the mindset and the teaching that comes from the show that is reaching millions of people that are on looking and thinking about marriage and context. I'm thinking about how many people are affected by their own bias in marriage. See, that's why I'm not going to get married anyways.
Exactly.
And how it's, you know, could be perpetuating different attitudes in the wrong way
exactly.
towards marriage because you have a pastor that's on the show.
Exactly.
You know, and if they can't make it with his counseling, then you have Dr. Pepper, you know, that psychologist in there. And then you have a whole sex expert and your marriage still can't work.
Exactly.
And I think it caused gaps in what a true relationship looks like. It's more than matching profiles and profiles, right?
Go ahead.
You know, I don't know what their questionnaire is looking like. I don't know how much they talk about values, but to bring a marriage together, both people have to have, to be successful, especially in this day and age, you know, a vision together. So you're starting a marriage without a vision.
There you go.
You have these ideas of what I want this relationship to be and what I want that relationship to be, but you're bringing people together on their false connotations of what the expectation is going to be. Would have a better appreciation if they had these two people come together first.
There we go.
Okay, how could we make this work to make this a sound marriage?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So maybe not marriage at first sight, but marriage in 2 hours. You know? You know, just to have a conversation, because marriage is more than, I'm pretty sure if I take a personality assessment, I'm pretty sure if I take a questionnaire, they can match me with hundreds of different men.
But remember, okay,
and same for you. Go ahead.
Just to piggyback off what you're saying, we always say that people show up with their representatives all the time. So based off them answering this questionnaire that you're talking about, then that's not their real people. And we've seen, especially with the last season that we watched, was season 14. And I know they got a bunch more seasons, but that's why I had my phone out. I was looking for that girl that we could not stand.
I forgot what her name was, but she was just too much.
I can't find her, but she definitely showed up with her representative.
Yeah.
And it was so unfair to watch because that guy went on there with the heart and the intention. Oh, Alyssa.
Yeah, that Alyssa. Was her.
Yeah, she showed up with her representative through and through. And that's why when she first saw that guy, like she just, everything just came out.
Yeah.
She was spiteful and vindictive and nasty and rude and unrealistic. And you could tell that she really was on there for the fame.
And she was like really, a social media person.
That she was a social media manager. It seemed like she was on there to get her name out. She wanted the attention. She fed off it. She played into it very well. But to your point, based off them asking these questions, these people are answering these questions based off their representative. So you're not giving these folks time so that they can really see who each other are, but then committing them to marriage.
Yeah.
And once, and we know this, and we've seen this, once people are committed to marriage, there is a switch that happens naturally in a person's head to say, I can't play with this. And sometimes the anxiety that comes behind that switch being activated leads people to act out, to run, panic, because we've seen couples that have dated for years, and then once they get married, they quit.
Yeah.
And we used to ask, well, why is that so? It's because how marriage was created and who created it.
Mm-hmm.
We are connected, even though we may not even acknowledge the connection, but God created marriage. So instinctively, once we get it, like that switch, we know that we're not supposed to play with that creation.
Mm-hmm.
That was the first thing that was created, right? So people, if they are showing up with their representative, when they finally get into that that commitment,
mm-hmm.
no, they can't play. So what do? They act out, like we saw with this girl. And also to another couple, Katina and Elijah Wan, talking about the switch activating. Elijah Wan would say so much, and I give him credit for how he progressed. He said so much, not even knowing this girl. You are a wife. You're supposed to blah, 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 blah. Hold on, bro.
Actually, I like Elijah Wan.
No, I get it, but hold on.
Mm-hmm.
You don't really know this girl.
You,
I understand you have standards in your head and what you think that a wife is, but you have to match that to the person that you actually are in a relationship with.
I can agree.
And if you don't know that person, you can't hold them to that standard. That's why, for me, it's so unrealistic for them to put these people on the show and require them to really act out what that standard of marriage looks like. Mm-hmm. It just is unrealistic. I'm gonna stop talking. I don't like the show.
I would appreciate it better if the 11 couples were to become the hosts or have some type of factor of the success.
Ho, run that down. How would that look?
I would like, instead of them always talking to Pastor Cal, who didn't go through this method, or Dr. Pepper, I don't even know if she's married, and whatever the sex therapist, I would have an appreciation.
Dr. Pepper is married, but her and her husband don't live together.
Oh, dang. I did not know that.
You didn't finish the season?
No, yes, I didn't.
Because remember the girl, Noy and Steve.
Uh-huh.
Remember, Noy had an issue with letting her apartment go.
Yeah.
And she wanted to live separate after they
And had, Dr. Pepper said they live separately?
She said, actually, me and my husband. And that kind of deflated Steve's argument because they wanted to move in together.
So
he wanted them to move in together.
That is on a rise. More and more people are I don't know what article I read it from, But people are subscribing to the idea of that, you know, you don't have to live together to be married. Okay. When my sister first said it, I thought it was crazy. But more people, you know, marriage is however you want it to be. But what was my point?
It's I
was
not. Getting at? I'm a pushback
okay.
on it, but
I know,
go ahead.
Because of your values and things like that. Go ahead. But what I'm saying is I would have a greater appreciation for the show if the successful couples had a segment to or were like the call for help that the
That's
new couples
really
could experience. You know what I'm saying? Because they've been through the process.
That's a really
you know,
good idea.
To glean from them.
You better write that down for us.
Oh, like, yeah, so-and-so really from season six, you know, ask them questions.
Now, they do bring people on, but I think the people that they bring on are not successful in their relationships.
Right. Yeah. They bring them in to
spice it up because it's honestly it's reality TV.
It is.
And to keep ratings, you have to like keep it engaging.
Yeah.
Right. But I think that we are passionate about it because we are passionate about marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And to see a show like this to kind of play with the idea of marriage is I don't know, man. I don't know if I like it. I remember us watching Love is Blind, for example, for the first time. We thought it was a dope idea because they get to talk to each other and fall in love with the person in time.
Yes.
Right? Even though it's very fast.
Yeah.
But they get the choice to wean out who it is that they want to fall in love with. And then they get engaged.
Like Lauren and Cameron, I still really like them as a couple.
Then they get engaged and then they start to learn each other.
Yeah.
And then they make the decision if they want to get married or not.
Right.
So
it's more practical.
That's what I'm going for. It's more practical.
Yeah.
Because relationships and getting to know somebody really does take time.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want anybody to be misconstrued to think that time is just an irrelevant construct or, you know, time is a figment of imagination. No, time tells. And the only way that you'll be able to get to know that person is letting time tell. And before you get in any long-term, long-standing, committed relationship called marriage, give it some time. Know the person, the idiosyncrasies, know the, what they like, they don't like, their deal breakers. That's what I was looking for earlier. Whew, thank you, Breen. Their values, their family upbringing, what do, you know, learn everything about
it. Yeah, and give you, because in that time, you're giving yourself time.
There you go.
To process. So if you jump in, you're cheating yourself of making the best executive decision as possible.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? And in that time, because you'll have some people say that time doesn't matter, but it is it is the quality of time. I don't care if you've been dating for 5 years and y'all ain't had no deep conversation.
Uh-huh.
You know, I don't care if y'all been together for 10 years and, you know, you don't know his idiosyncrasies or things like that. So it's like, what are you doing in the time period that also matters? So it's not just time is not going to do it by itself. You literally have to do the work. And then during that time, find out from that your significant other, okay, what do I need to work on? If it's something that I do want to work on, give me the choice to choose how and ways that I want to change. It's very complex when it comes to building a relationship. And I think marriage at first sight diminishes that complexity, right? And at the same token, yes, we could celebrate 11 couples being married, but we can't negate that 53 got divorced.
Dang, that's
you know,
good, honey.
So it's like, okay, so are we producing more divorces? Or are we producing more marriages?
Right.
And understand that it's a two-edged sword no matter what, because once you put people together, they're either going to remain or divorce.
Right.
But in the same, like, as you look at out of, 15 seasons and only, you're not even succeeding on a couple of seasons.
I think they're 17 in, ain't they?
17 in or whatever.
Yeah.
But you're not even retaining a couple of seasons.
Dang.
So it's like,
the retention rate's so low.
So what are you doing as matchmakers to change your processes? What are you adding to the mix? Because me just picking people based on these characteristics and these wants and desires isn't working.
Go ahead.
And when they're having conversations with the couples, and I remember Pastor Cal was talking about things that people had in their paperwork. I can't remember. It was one of the guys he was talking to. And he was like, yeah, I meant that. But you also are interpreting not in context what these people are thinking about when they're answering the question.
That's good.
So it's like there's a lot going on. And I don't maybe because I'm an outsider viewer, but I want to know what type of changes are you going to incorporate in your screening processes?
Because
inevitably you're producing more divorces now.
Absolutely.
So that's my question.
How about I tell you that they're not trying to change anything?
Because the ratings.
Because of the ratings.
Yeah. But it's like, so, but you didn't get it. But so you mean the time you got in this for the ratings?
That's it.
You didn't get in this for marriage.
That's why I hate the show. I think it's a reality show and series for ratings masked in marriage. And that's why to me.
It's a selling point.
It's a selling point. And that's why I don't like it. These are strong words,
okay.
But I'm going to use them. To me, they're almost mocking marriage. They're almost. And the reason why I want to say those are strong words because I do feel like to a degree.
Because they're making money over it.
I do feel like to a degree they want to see couples married. I do. But in how they chose to let the process play out to see what those marriages are going to look like. And studying the success rate of it, I feel like they care about the ratings more than they actually do about the success rate of marriage.
Okay, so I got a statistic for you. Well, I got a number for you.
Okay.
According to MyLifetime.com, over 65,000 people apply to participate in the hit series Married at First Sight, which is dwindled down to three couples. So you have 65,000 people.
That's a lot of people.
In the hopes of being married at first sight.
It's a lot of people. That's so, and I know it's not just, it's not those three, just they have a team behind them that's helping them choose.
I know, but the fact is that those how many people that are hoping for marriage, that's not getting the proper guidance, not the correct self-personal development, but are still trying. So I'm happy that there is an audience of people that want relationships,
right?
Because we can't make it seem like, oh, marriage is completely dead, because it's not.
It's not.
But it's like, how do we... You know, how strong we feel about marriage. You know, how do you feel we could infiltrate that to try to help people that's really trying to have a marriage?
That's right. You know I have a whole plan.
Okay.
I'm not going to put my plan out there. No. It is going to take finances to implement. But again, we're taking in data. We're taking in...
Oh, my. I don't know if this is real, but there's a Married at First Sight Unmatchables. I guess everyone deserves a chance at love, so the new series hit polish up the diamonds in the rough, providing them with strong relationship advice and a lifestyle overhaul to give them an opportunity to shed what has been stalling real romantic connections in their lives.
Ratings.
So it's a new show.
Ratings, I'm telling you.
Season one already have one episode. Season one has
what
eight
is it
episodes.
Airing on?
You may can find it faster than me,
but see, it says watch now.
So the Unmatchables, Married at First Sight has Unmatchables. So it's going back into
It says Lifetime at the top.
Oh, sorry. It's going back into that 65,000 people and still getting them to create another show.
Ratings.
So now we got to watch. Now we are part of the ratings because now I have to figure out what this show about.
Ratings. Now, granted,
Unmatchables.
And I know it sounds like hate because I feel like our process of how we're going to create our show. It's not a show. What do you want to call it? The thing that
matchmaking.
Our matchmaking. Thank you.
Matchmaking.
We have a process, but hopefully our process would spin off into a show.
I would love that.
But at the same time, we are going to do it the right way. It's the right way.
You know, and we have to deal.
And
with
it's not. I know that they were going to say like the right way is subjective.
Yeah.
I get it, but I'm looking at what has worked for us. And traditional marriages overall. And we just are taking just the practical information and data and experience and trying to make it all work for the benefit of healthy relationships that spawns into marriage. So we know that show definitely is not a practical approach. You meet somebody, you marry them, and you have an expectation of them. And now y'all supposed to just blend everything without knowing. I would never let a stranger come into this house and start requiring me to do anything. Now, metaphorically, the house is the person.
Mm-hmm.
I would never let a stranger come into this house, metaphorically and not even physically, and start demanding things of me and you know nothing about me. You don't know my triggers. You don't know my traumas. Yeah, so you don't know my family history. You don't know any of that. You can't learn that until time, without time, time. I don't feel safe enough with you for you to even come into this house to learn things about me. And me not afraid that you're not going to look at me a certain way, judge me, leave. And now I'm stuck without a successful marriage. And that's the whole purpose of me coming onto the show. You cannot expect for these people to really let who they truly are out with somebody who they just met.
And you know why?
Yeah, why?
Because they couldn't do that successfully in their past relationships with people who they chose.
So why do you think that they're going to do it now with somebody who they just met with cameras in front of them?
Well, 11 couples.
Oh, my God.
But they went through their stages, too. But they had a different mindset to get them through certain things. So
I don't like people playing with marriage. I don't like it at
don't
all.
Don't play with marriage.
Oh, snap. You don't need to get the gunshots out.
No, you don't need to get the gunshots out.
Shoot.
But yeah, so Married at First Sight. Yeah. You know, the name is catchy.
Yeah.
It's an idea.
It's an idea, but it's not a practical idea if we are looking at the statistics of successful marriages and the retention rate of what these marriages look like in the future.
So, you know, another thing that I notice about some of the couples, and this is going to sound bad.
The old snap.
This is going to sound bad, and I promise you, I love, let me say this first.
Okay.
I love being a woman.
Ooh.
I love.
This is going to be a good segue to the video, by the way.
Okay. I love being a woman. I love being feminine.
Mm.
I don't know. I just can't be a man. I have no desire to be a man. I love and I value having a man.
That's right.
I love and I value the protection of a man. I love how he takes care of me. I don't know. I love and respect our relationship dynamic.
That's right.
That I don't want to be anything besides who I am right now. And I don't want him to be anything besides who he is right now.
Yeah.
Like, I enjoy that. I enjoy being a mother.
Uh-huh.
I'm still surprised that we had 5 children. Like, when I think about, I have no twins. When I think about us birthing 5 children, I still be like, man, I can't believe that actually happened. So, I also, really.
I found it.
I also.
Talk, mother.
Okay. I also love. Man, this is so distracting.
Talk, mother.
I'm gonna try.
All right, I turned it off. Good, good, good.
What else I wanted to say as a disclosure before I say this comment? Okay, so I hope I buttered it up. I hope I buttered it up enough, but I love being feminine. And I always wasn't who I am today. Like, this is growth. You know,
yes, ma'am.
You know, I also started out being married, having a bad attitude. I also
started from the bottom. Now we're here.
Yep. So I definitely started at the bottom. You know, I didn't come into marriage knowing how to cook. I did not come into marriage prioritizing my day. Mm-hmm. I felt entitled about certain things.
Yeah.
Like, this is 18 years of us.
Exactly.
You know.
Exactly.
Storming.
Storming, norming, forming, and adjoining.
Forming is first. You know, we grew into this that we have today. So yeah. I'm not coming from a place of judgment either when I make this comment.
Go ahead, girl.
Okay.
I like how you set that up.
So now that everybody understands my intentions are pure, all right, can I get an amen? No, honey, don't. But I
you
will
can get an amen,
okay.
Sister.
But I am going to go ahead and make my comment.
Okay, go ahead.
Most of the issues that I have witnessed with these very eyes on watching Married at First Sight and other married shows, the women has been my issue. Really, a gunshot. Can you put the church music on so I can song softer?
Okay, go ahead. I was there. I'm going to turn her down some.
So, I have noticed, my sisters, that y'all have been majority of the cause of contention on these shows. with unrealistic expectations, you know. And I just want to caution us to take a really good look at ourselves.
Preach, preach.
Our roses really smell like doo-doo-doo. But as I looked upon these relationships, I can only just imagine what those relationships could have been if we understood our power.
Ooh, she talking now.
And knew who we are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and knowing how to be a team player. Because I'll give you a secret, my sisters.
There it is.
When we hold so much power in relationships, and when we know how to use it in the right way.
She talking.
Our men would do whatever.
Mm.
And ever.
Mm.
And ever.
Ever.
That they could do for to our satisfaction.
There it is.
Because they were designed to do so.
Mm.
But when you come in relationship power wheeling, thinking that, you know, you the prize without, you know, the work to become the real prize, you lose. Our future loses because we are the gatekeepers to the future.
I had to turn it off now.
And and I just want us to really do a better job with valuing the people, the men that we want in our lives.
Yeah.
And I don't see enough of that value
on the
show.
Right.
And you can't. I know we have these things of happy wife, happy life, and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
But you miss context. There's a reason why happy life, happy wife, happy life.
Yeah.
Because the wife did the work.
Mm,
you know what I'm saying?
That's good.
You know,
that's
when good. The dynamics of our relationship and our marriage begin to shift, honey, and I did what I needed to do as a wife, and I brought pleasure to you first, your reciprocation of that been tenfold.
Mm.
But I had to become what I needed to become for you to be safe. And now you live for happy wife, happy life, because I first gave of myself to you.
Mm.
You know, so it's even
is that,
not,
that reciprocity.
Yes,
that you
reciprocity.
Like
yeah. But it's also in relation to marriage, right? It's that the reason why, you know, Christ, God, mm-hmm. created marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I'm the church,
right,
and I give unto you
right.
as God, because, mm-hmm. you know, you the man, you know, right. represent God,
right.
you open the floodgates for me.
That's good.
When I'm not deserving as the church.
That's good.
So it's like, you know, so the reason why marriage is on the foundations of these godly principles is because if I represent the church and you represent Christ and I willingly give myself to you, you're going to give me the world in return.
Absolutely.
So therefore,
die trying.
When I watch, yeah, and die trying, literally Christ on the
there
cross,
you
know what I'm saying? So when I see women approach these relationships, give me the world, give me the world, do this for me, give me the world. I don't blame men from being the way that they are.
Mm.
I'm just going to take for you what I need.
There you did.
And
there
I'm going to keep it moving.
There it is.
Because I may not have the words to articulate, you know, how I'm really feeling or this natural law that's inside of me that's telling me you ain't the one.
Oh, you could.
But for right now,
yes,
I'm going to deal with you because I have needs. You know, I have desires and I have obligations and I understand my challenges as a man, even though I'm not going to say it. So I'm going to use you, but I'm going to keep looking. And I think that's why y'all were created with that hunt, because when God said that, you know, for a man,
man finds a wife,
woman
he finds
creates a good
thing.
Is because, and I think that hunt that y'all having is for y'all to find that good thing because y'all know y'all need to be completed as in the relationship with Christ and the church.
Gosh.
So it's therefore, so when I see these ladies on the show not understanding who they are as a helpmate and the power of being a helpmate and the power of having a submissive attitude and the power of knowing how and when to show up,
yeah.
you don't have have your king is because you didn't first know how to be a queen. And I can't tell you that if you ain't in the right space. So I'm not telling them. I'm telling you.
Yeah, you're telling me.
I'm telling you for you to know.
Of course. I'm hearing it. I'm 1,000%.
I don't want to offend nobody.
They on milk.
Because
they can't hear it.
Yeah, they can't hear it.
But I can hear it.
But you can hear it. You know what I'm saying? So therefore, it's like, ladies, you know, you have to understand, and I'm going to caveat this one more last time before I bring it home. Mm-hmm. When I don't blame men for having the conversation which you bring to the table.
Okay.
Smile. Because I understand what they're really trying to say.
Okay.
They're
okay.
not really trying to say what you bring to the table. They're trying to get you to notice your deficits. Oh, they're trying to get you to say, you know, what you really have so you can get bum fumbled and realize, dang, I ain't really bringing nothing. I got a degree. Okay, but what is that degree going to do on this table?
Exactly.
What is that degree going to do to our legacy?
And you're speaking as a educated doctor.
Yeah, right. I am, you know. What I bring to the table.
Right.
But, and even what I'm bringing to the
Don't go there. Uh-huh.
But you have a degree, but it's not coming on the table.
Exactly.
That degree is probably going on the wall, because how is your degree is feeding into the vision of this family that you expect me to hold? That's what the men are really saying.
Right.
How are you adding value to what's to come?
There it is.
You know what I'm saying? So it's
How can you make my church? How can you make the church better?
Yeah. How can you make the church better? You know what I'm saying? And when men say they don't have access to the money, because you don't have many, you don't have a lot of women that's willing to invest in the vision. They just want to come at the end.
Yeah.
That's why, rehashing another episode, I didn't like the lady that was talking about she was want to be a woman of leisure.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying? After the man make it, she wants to be a leisure. She don't want to be a housewife. That's not, you know.
A woman of leisure.
That's not a woman of leisure.
Because that's work.
But you ain't a part of the vision.
Mm.
You just want the benefits of the vision. These women just want the benefits of being connected to a man in marriage. You just want the end, but you don't want to do the work.
There it is.
So, yeah, marriage at first sight can work for women who understand who they are. But because the women don't understand who they are, the marriage won't work. Because if you being the heart and soul, you know.
Yes. Talk.
You being the power force that we are.
Talk.
You know, men only do what men can do because the women standards are low.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? You can't preach and talk, oh, I got high standards. I know my value. But, I mean, you know.
It's fine.
But you sleep around very easily.
It's fine.
Because you have needs.
There you go.
Or you know, it's just so much more in context that come there that I don't have the time to, you know, go down, you know. But if you sign up for our coaching services, I'll be happy to assist you.
The Love Life Legacy at gmail.com.
Yeah.
The Love Life Legacy podcast at gmail.com.
But it's just so much more there. Can marriage at first sight work? I'm pretty sure it can. But
to a point where you were saying,
I'm
seeing this go around Facebook a lot. And to your point, a submissive woman controls a man unknowingly.
It's like, but I had to learn that power.
Right.
Because I didn't start off having that power.
Right.
But best believe I'm teaching my daughters that power.
Yes.
Because I want them to have a foundation in their relationships. So it's one thing to say, I'm waiting on the right man. I have a standard. But you don't understand the standard you're supposed to have.
There you go.
The standard that you're supposed to bring.
There you go.
You know, and you don't, it's just so much that I really wish that I could teach women from my experience. But I feel as though that my target audience would be the younger women.
Yeah.
Because there's just certain battles that I'm not willing to fight with you.
Yeah, those who have ears.
Let them hear.
And that's just that.
But hey, marriage at first sight, yes, 11 out of 64. 17% success rate.
Hold up. Don't cap that.
But 53%.
You deserve all this.
Oh.
You
really?
Deserve all this. What are you talking about? You cooked. Proud
I
of
cooked.
You. You did a great job.
A little
job.
Bible study in there.
No, that's fine. Well, yeah. I had a conversation with my sibling.
With your sibling?
Because I was questioned about, you know, when we had our last family meeting, the Bible study at the end.
Oh.
It's like, what was that? And I was like, well, you know, it's not like we are back full-fledged in how we participated in religion, right? But we still believe the principles of the scriptures, right? Because they're eternal principles.
Right.
I don't care how many man
across different religions.
Because they're all saying the same thing.
Yeah.
You just have to make it work for your culture.
Right.
So I don't have to teach it in the way how I used to teach it when we were in Christianity 1,000%.
Right.
But I literally can teach the eternal principles
right.
that has helped us establish our values.
Yep.
And that what keeps our church, which is this house,
that's right,
moving forward.
That's right.
Because I said because if our kids don't have something that you can point them to,
yeah,
as far as their values, your principles, the eternal truths, then what are you basing your raising them up on? You're not basing their foundation on anything nothing. Besides you said.
Yeah.
But I even have a direction of where I point where I got this from and we got yes. this from. So, of course, it was internal from the eternal force.
Yeah.
Right? Because I used to couldn't say, man, why I believe this. Where did this come from? I just am wise beyond my years, blah, blah, blah. Until I was able to match my belief system with the principles in the scriptures.
That's right.
I was like, oh, this was destiny. Yeah. I get it. So the scriptures are our point of reference to how we gird our family
yes.
with values that are everlasting.
Yeah.
And I will forever be able to teach biblical principles uh-huh. without having to conflate religion into it.
That's right.
Our kids need that foundation.
They do.
Think about where we are. And I'm not going off an edge. You don't have to tap me on the leg.
No, I got something too. Go ahead.
So think about where we are as a society.
Mm-hmm.
Right? How far left we are. And I don't have to point out anything if you know what I am saying.
Mm-hmm.
What do you use as a parent to now teach your children foundational principles?
They have no foundation.
Without having a foundation. What do you use besides you saying, because I said so? Because I am the parent and you're going to listen to. If you don't have something to point them to that's been here even before you, then you won't be able to refute all the other nonsense that the world is throwing at them that they're trying to filter through their little subconscious without a proper formed frontal cortex. It's like, we feel more comfortable pointing our children in the direction of principles that has been here before us because they will never change. They will never go away. And when they seem like they may be getting outside of the truths that we are trying to instill in them,
mm-hmm.
all we have to do is point back.
That's it.
Just point back. Because these are going to outlast us. They're going to outlast you
mm-hmm.
and all the generations that come. And remember, we are creating love, life, and legacy.
That's right.
So we want these to be continually passed down. And guess what? It don't matter how far left society will get. Our legacy will be able to stand the test of time and shine as light as we know that they can if they stand on the values and principles that are eternal.
Right.
So.
I think you did a great job.
Okay.
That. I would like to add to it.
Please, go ahead.
This is from an academic research perspective.
Ooh,
I'm not going to nerd out, though.
But I love when you do.
Oh, it's going to be simple. Okay. Don't get your hopes up.
Okay.
Okay, so the reason why establishing a foundation and having a reference is so important is because you have to validate your beliefs. You have to validate what you speak. You have to validate your values.
That's good.
It can't stand alone on just you.
Cite your source.
Yes, exactly. That's why we cite our sources.
Yes.
Because yes. we need a consensus of balance.
There we
and
go.
Then when we're citing sources, we're not only just citing sources that agree with us. Right. We have to cite sources that expands, that disagrees so that you can come up with the right perspective that's necessary.
That's really good.
So when you are teaching and you don't have nothing to refer to, you're teaching subjectively. And someone has the right to deny your subjection because you have nothing to validate which you have, right?
That's good.
So in research, because I do research, we have to have, depending on what type of publication you're applying for or what type of thing you're writing, X amount of sources, transcending years. You can, you know, over a certain period of time to validate your stance, because you're trying to find and lay the foundation for which you can build other things upon. And so when somebody is telling me something that they believe, in my mind, I may not say it, I may just smile. I am trying to think in my little Rolodex of the information I have, what can I apply that to? Because everything is a network. Exactly. Everything has a relationship. Exactly. And if I can't apply that to X amount of things, oh, that's subjection.
There it is.
So therefore, I'm going to let that go. So when we teach our children from our subjective thoughts, you're not connected to everything they have been exposed to, everything that they have seen, everything they have witnessed. So you don't know you're going in the Xbox, like the box that's saying, I don't believe it. Because I have nothing to connect into. Is more rewarding for Jonathan and I when we're having conversations with our children and they're able to bring back something that they either have read or read. Reference, mm-hmm. And it ties back into something we have taught them, and we can point them to something else. Ava was reading a book by Sean Covey, The Seven Effective Habits of Teenagers, right?
Yeah, because I read the one for adults.
Yeah, and I read the one for adults too. And it's just amazing that she even can find context in our singleton values. Mm-hmm. She can find context, you know, when we talk about biblical principles. And I love when they can find sources that confirm something that we say when they thought we've been just running our mouth. Just, oh, mama Mm-mm. just being mama, daddy Mm-mm. just being daddy. Mm-mm. But it's like, no, we're trying to teach you foundational truths. And the reason why foundational truths are important, because for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world is clearly seen. I'm quoting Romans, because as they go out into the world, they're going to be reminded of those foundations.
There it is.
When they're looking around, when they're not even paying attention, it's like, okay, that's a foundational truth. I remember that back when.
Yes.
But when you don't give your children or just people you influence that foundation, they're going to navigate the world not making those neurological connections.
Yeah.
You know, not being able to have that checked and balanced.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So that's just my little tangent. Really
that
quick.
Was bars. I wish
you
I had.
You only got bars because you understand what I'm saying.
But it was those good. Who have ears.
What those are we, who have yes, ears, I, let them hear line upon line, precept upon precept.
Yeah, Isaiah 28:20. I can hear it because, again,
your foundation.
Taking it back to love at first sight. Our values align.
Yeah.
So I don't have to like try to interpret. Uh-huh. I don't have to ask questions of clarity. I literally hear it for what it is.
If you know, you know.
If you know, you know. Our foundation is set. So that's why I'm saying bars, because it's like.
It is a bar.
It's a
but
bar.
But only for those who have ears can hear it.
And exactly. And it's I just hope that our voice can penetrate the hearts of people that are willing.
Yeah.
Because we'll find them. We've seen millions of people hearts be penetrated by nonsense.
Yeah.
And we are trying to invade the hearts and minds of people to be rid of the nonsense, that are tired of the nonsense and are looking for something different.
Yes, right.
And if you want something different, you have to do something different. And it starts with a changed perspective and changed paradigm.
Mm-hmm.
It starts here first.
That's it.
And a heart that's open, that's looking for that change, they'll hear it. They'll hear it. And
why I don't like arguing with people.
Yeah, listen.
Like, I can't.
You heard that song by Lil Duval? I ain't going back and forth. I'm living my best.
And you know what? I am really living my best life. Was it a few nights ago when I was in the bed and I was just happy?
Yes.
And I was just getting on your nerves.
Yes, like
and
you
And I
do.
Was like, life is just, you know, life is just really good.
I know.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I just, truly I know. In our marriage, like, yeah, we had some bad days, but the good days really outweigh the bad days. We ain't no 11 out of 64.
Not at all, man.
Not at all. And I am really, really just enjoying life.
Adjoining feels good.
No, I don't want to adjourn.
Hold up. What? Hold on. What step am I trying to say?
We still in norming.
Norming. Yeah, sorry, that's what I was saying. I apologize. Look at me trying to teach her stuff. Norming feels good.
Yeah, norming feels good because we went through the storms.
Yeah,
we went through the storms. Saying? And then, you know, it's not one storm. You know, it's the different cycles because we had different levels of growth. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And we still probably got...
We got a bunch more.
You know?
Got a bunch more.
But we are valuing one another in the process.
Yes.
And accepting one another.
And at the end of the day... We still do.
We still do.
Give me one.
Yeah, so marriage at first sight, let's see if you try it. But know that marriage is a matter of the heart. It's not a matter of you just wanting to be with somebody because you don't want to be alone at night.
You don't
want to be with somebody because you need help with your bills or whatever. Marriage is truly a matter of the heart. And, you know... And it takes two people.
It takes two people working together to make it work. I say that differently every time.
I know.
But
that's why I looked at you, because I was about to mess it up too.
Yeah.
But yeah, it takes two people
that's just willing to fight to make it work. And you can't fight without the proper foundation.
And there's no fight when you don't have the right thing sharpening you.
Exactly.
You know, the fight is in vain otherwise. So if you are listening to our podcast and you enjoyed the show and, you know, you want to learn more about marriage and relationships, please do reach out to us. We will be happy to assist. Now, it does come at a price.
It does.
Because our time is valuable.
It is.
And you know what? But we are willing to help people achieve this understanding of love and relationships.
How can they reach out to us?
How can they reach out to us?
Mm-hmm.
They can reach out to us on YouTube.
Email, baby.
Oh, you want some emails? Okay. lovelifelegacypodcast@gmail.com. I don't have the website up right now. It just wasn't enough.
No. It's fine, but email is suffice because we still have the program. And again, I said earlier, it's finances. We have a large family of 7 with 5 kids. So it's like... We got a beautiful family.
Yeah, we need to do a new picture.
We do, but that picture still is rocking out. But it's finances, so we could not continue to keep paying for the website because everything costs money. But the program still exists, so people want to actually partake of the coaching program that we have invested a lot of time in creating. Just please reach out to us at thelovelifelegacypodcast@gmail.com,
mm-hmm. or
find us on social media. We are on most platforms: TikTok, Facebook, YouTube.
I think all of our coaching clients so far, besides people that we knew personally, came from Facebook.
Yeah, I think so. But I think that this was a great conversation, bro.
Great conversation.
I think that you are fire. I think you are the bomb.com. Bomb diggity
honey,
diggity boom boom.
I did my sexy face.
Oh, get hold up. Did you do the tongue?
Yeah, I did the tongue.
You are amazing. I think we did a really good job tying in the last conversation, episode 65.
Mm-hmm.
If you have not checked that out, episode 65, Respect and Love Are Taught from Foundational Truths. It is available wherever you get your podcast, also on YouTube. So catch up on that one, man. And as usual.
My daddy watched the 50-50 in relationships one.
Oh, yeah.
He had a time with that.
You told me
He said, we almost had him leave for the doctor appointment. I wanted to tell him, Dad, you can watch it on your phone, but he watched YouTube on his TV.
So all the episodes that you have missed and want to catch up on are all on our YouTube. And again, on any podcast platform available. So, but from us to y'all, peace. Mm-hmm.